Hey, thank you guys so much for hosting Lisa and I. This is just an amazing group of people, and I'm so pleased to be here back to where I was born. And I was born in Raleigh. I was born in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I'm literally back home. But to the ARC conference and just the ARC movement, what it's doing all over the world is really just off the chain. My wife is here. I want you to meet Lisa. She's here. Lisa, stand. Lisa. And my mother-in-law is here. My mother-in-law is here, Elva. Elva from Columbia, South Carolina. So I'll try to be on my best behavior. I really will. So you guys doing pretty good? Yeah, all right. We're going to talk tonight about the greatest thing in the world, which is the local church. And I'm so excited to talk about the local church because ministry, let's face it, is brutal. There's a brutal side to it, right? I mean, there's a brutal side to ministry. But I'm going to tell you, there is a beautiful side to ministry. And what a high calling, what an unbelievable opportunity we have to build the body of Christ and to point people to Jesus. I mean, there's nothing like it. So all of those here in the ministry, man, my hat goes off to you. And if you're a part of this great C3 church, I tell you, Matt has done just a phenomenal job here. He's doing a great, great job. My hat's off to you, too. I want to do a quick just commercial for some things I have out there. I would love for you to pick up if you want to. The first one is the Marriage Mirror. Whoa. The Marriage Mirror. Marriage, I believe, is the hardest thing. It is. People say, oh, marriage is easy. No, marriage is hard. It's tough, but it's worth the work. It is worth it. And I believe the venue where we live out our Christianity is in the marriage, because the marriage is the only relationship that's analogous to God's relationship to the church, to his people. So when I look into the eyes of Lisa, I see Lisa at her best and Lisa at her worst. And when she sees me reflected back, she sees me at my best and me at my worst. We see warts and all in marriage. So you're tested in marriage. You know what I'm saying to you. The marriage mirror. Does that make sense? Reflected back, yeah, off one another is, you know, who you really are. And the reason people jump from marriage to marriage is because they don't like what they see reflected back. They're like, whoa, I don't like that. You mean I'm that ugly? And they'll go somewhere else and then deal with the same stuff. So I'm telling you, marriage is awesome. It is not the easiest thing. It's the hardest thing. It can become the greatest thing when you're willing to do the hardest things first. That's available out there. Also, too, this book called Church Chaos, because the church is chaotic, isn't it? Chaos, though, can be your friend, your buddy, your homie, if you allow it. And this talks about the guts. There's a great church called Guts Church. Well, this talks about the dark underbelly of ministry. It talks about the brutal side of ministry, and the brutal side and the beautiful side, and that's available. In the Zone, you know, money, it takes supersized cash to do ministry. Have you discovered that? Whether your church runs 10 people or 10,000, it takes a lot of money to run ministry. I didn't realize it until I became a senior pastor. I was shocked. I was ambushed by the money monster. Sir. The creature from the Cash Lagoon, you know? In the Zone. How do you keep your church in the zone? I tell you, Jonathan should be teaching that course. Jonathan Falwell, man, this guy, he knows. I mean, I'm telling you, it's about money. Money is a spiritual issue. It's powerful. It's great. Also, too, if you can get past the front cover of this book, it is amazing. The front cover will mess you up. You get past that, it's called The Creative Leader. Anyway, enough about this stuff. I'll be out there. I'll be happy to meet you and talk to you and answer any questions you have about that. Well, let me tell you what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a subject that I've talked about just a couple of times in my life. The last time I talked about it was 2 years ago, and I talked about it in front of a number of leaders. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it's something that I deal with all of the time, and it's really one of the major themes in Scripture. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of betrayal. Betrayal. I know it sounds like a doggy downer, like wah, 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 betrayal. But I'm here to tell you, betrayal is brutal. There is a brutal side to betrayal, like there's a brutal side to ministry. There's also a beautiful side to betrayal. I truly believe that a lot of the juice that flows into all these leadership books and seminars that we attend and that we read is really this subject matter called betrayal. Because a lot of these leaders have been betrayed, they've seen betrayal, and then all of a sudden they think, okay, I gotta lead this way and do this and that and whatever, and it kind of flows from betrayal. So let's look at the dark underbelly of leadership just for a second. Let's look at betrayal, because if you're in the ministry or in life, betrayal happens. The Bible is a book of betrayal. You know that, because you can trace the trail of betrayal all the way back. I'm talking about back to the soils of the garden, because Adam and Eve, that husband and wife team, they betrayed God. And we've been struggling with it ever since. But here's what I've discovered after doing ministry for a while, because Fellowship Church was a church plant. 2 decades ago, we planted Fellowship Church. How many church planters do we have in the house? If you're a church planter, oh yeah, okay. Let's give it up for the church planters. Man, unbelievable. Well, we planted Fellowship Church 2 decades ago, and when we planted it, we didn't really have an idea really of what was going on. I mean, we knew that we wanted to point people to Jesus, and we knew all that, but we discovered something right quick. Betrayal happens. So no matter who you are, how smart you are, how cute you are, how big you are, how bad you are, you will get betrayed. But here's the deal. You can't get betrayed by your enemies. And that's what'll mess you up. My enemies can't betray me. Only the people that I trust, only the people that I bring into my life or into this tight relational circle, those are the only people who can betray me. And we have a number of people here from different backgrounds, different walks of life, but I can tell you that we're all in 3 categories. Some of us, category 1, are getting ready to get betrayed. Category 2, we're in the midst of betrayal. Category 3, we're coming out of betrayal. I know it's shocking. And again, I don't mean, as Joel Osteen says, to sound negative, amen? I don't mean to sound negative. But let's just talk about the real deal. Betrayal happens. So take your Bibles. This is my Bible. No, I'm sorry, take your Bibles. And turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. Because right quick, we're going to give you the quick Wikipedia version. That's right, the Wikipedia version of the life of Joseph. Joseph. Man, was this guy a stud or what? Amazing. He had it going on. But I want you to write this down, because I'm going to give you about 5 things to write down, and then I'll try to unpack these things as I talk, because I've had a triple shot a cappuccino. I love caffeine. Caffeine has got me through the ministry. First of all, it's Jesus. Secondly, espresso, just to be frank with you. But here's the first thing I want you to write down. Check this out, because it happens all the time. Betrayal occurs during defining moments. Or you might say betrayal occurs during those crucial situations. You remember Joseph? Joseph was the man. How many brothers did he have? How many? 11. You know what's so funny about biblical numbers? None of us are too confident to throw those numbers out. I'm the same way. Oh, 11. Yeah. It's 12. I don't know. It's 11, right? Okay, I feel better. 11. Whoa, amen, amen. Majority rules, amen. 11 brothers. His father was named Jacob. Now, Jacob, what an interesting fellow, because Jacob could have played the family crazy card. You ever played that game, my family is crazier than yours or whatever? We're all crazy. All of our families have a cup of crazy in the recipe. I mean, we're all a little bit weird. You know, everybody is, you know. Some are truly crazy, but I'm talking about all of us are just kind of crazy because there's a crazy meter. Did you know that? From 1 to 10. Most of us have a crazar in our lives. The Holy Spirit puts it there. And when the crazar goes from a 5 to a 10, watch out. Stay away from them. But 1 to 4, 1 to 4.5 is okay. I'm about a 4.5, I admit it. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a little bit crazy. Okay, so Jacob's family was crazy, and Jacob made a mistake. He showed favoritism to Joseph, bought him this phenomenal robe. His 11 brothers didn't dig it. In Genesis 37, verse 3, now Jacob, the word Jacob means cheater, supplanter. That's what his name means. Wow. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Now, Joe was about, 17? Because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. Now, if you look this word robe up in the Hebrew, it's pronounced Hugo Boss in the Hebrew. Some are like, oh, really, Hugo Boss? No, I just totally clearly made that up. A richly ornamented robe for him. That was a parenting mistake, a parental blunder. We've all made them. I mean, my wife and I have 4 kids. I mean, I've made many more mistakes with the kids than she, but we've all made parental mistakes. And he showed favoritism to Joseph, bought him this Hugo Boss jacket, and he's like walking around like, yeah, you know? And here's what he did. He made a mistake. He shared his dreams and plans and visions too early. Now, when God gives you the visions and the dreams and the plans for what he wants to do with your life as he continues to reveal them to you, sometimes it's great to share them. Other times, shut up. Don't say anything. Well, Joseph, he was like, you know, I'm the man. And that's one of the downsides of technology. Technology is great. I mean, it really is. It is awesome. I love technology. Technology is good. It really is. There's an upside to it. And the upside to it is I can be mentored by all of these people that I've met today at the ARC conference by technology. Chris Hodges, you know. Of course, I've known Dino. I'm going down the list. But all of a sudden, technology can become the tail attached to a pit bull. Are you blogging or bragging? Are you Twittering or littering? Somebody call somebody right now. Okay, because that's real, isn't it? So be very, very careful because technology gives me and it gives you a greater sense of importance. Wow, I can go online or I can Twitter. I can blog and the whole world is just waiting to see what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say. So be very, very careful about that. Joseph messed up. He shared his stuff too early. And because of it, his brothers didn't dig it. Here's the second thing I want you to see. I could go on this for a long, long time, but number two, yeah, betrayal strikes at crucial times. But number two, it comes from those closest to us. His brothers, those people he trusted, his brothers, those people that he loved, those people you trust will turn. That's betrayal. They'll kiss you and then dish you. Because here's the deal. There is always a Judas at your table. And Judas is usually close enough to kiss you. There's a Judas at your table. I know it's shocking. I know you're like, there's no way. I mean, you don't know my leadership team, Ed. You don't know my elder board. You don't know the love that we have for each other. I understand that. there's always a Judas at your table. Be very, very careful. Close enough to kiss you. Again, your enemies, man, your enemies can't do it. And I've discovered in the ministry and in life, but especially in the ministry, the brutiful ministry, there are three types of people that I have connected with over the years. One will be those people who are like with me. They're with me. They're with me. They're with me. And they're with you. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, they got your back. It's like Bishop Jake says, come hell or high water, they got your back. Slap your neighbor, say they got your back, okay? They got your back. We got to have people who are with us. Okay, number two, those who were for us. Yeah, I'm for you. Rah, rah, rah. Go team, go. Go C3 Church. Go Fellowship Church. Yeah, 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 yeah. Go Celebration Church. Those people are just fans. They're fans. They're fans. I mean, yeah, they like it and all that, and they're into your vision, Matt, what you're doing, and they're with you. But as soon as you make a decision, they don't dig. Boom, they're somewhere else, and they're a fan over there. Go team, go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Healing place. Healing place. You know. Yeah, yeah. They're fans. Now, the third type of person I've met is that person that will just use you. You know what I'm talking about. They're against you. They use you. They abuse you. They turn on you and stab you in the back. They slander you. They share those secrets. They deal in gossip. Sounds like a snake. Wow. You can't say those words without hissing. Well, here's Joseph. I mean, he's just wearing this Hugo Boss coat. And his brothers turn on him. And they saw the coat. They saw the robe. They saw the blessings. Now, that brings us to the next thing I want you to write down. Number three, wow, betrayal is fueled, or you could say engineered, by envy and jealousy. I love the word jealousy because the word lousy is in it. When I'm jealous, basically I'm just feeling lousy. But I want to do the KOA thing on the word envy. Envy, it gets those engines of envy. You show me somebody who's envious, and I'll show you somebody who's right on the edge and the ledge of betraying you. They're close enough to kiss you. It's going to come at a crucial time. It's going to come during the engagement or during the first year of marriage. It's going to come when your child is sick. It's going to come during the building campaign. It's going to be coming when you just launched this new satellite. That is when betrayal strikes. It's unbelievable. But we're going to see that betrayal is also a beautiful thing. It's a brutal thing and also a beautiful thing. It says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 4, they, the brothers, I always love to talk about they just for a second. Who were they? T-H-E-Y. Do you have the right they or the wrong they in your lives? They always have something to say. We need to surround ourselves with the right they, people who are with you and with me. If you're a leader, who are they? And the right they, T-H-E-Y, they're tough. Because Jesus was not a pale, frail, blue-eyed, decaf-sipping white boy. No, 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 no. He was a man's man. Honest. They'll speak the truth in love. E, encouraging. Encouraging. The glass half full, encouraging. E, why? They are yielded yes men. What? Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes men. I mean, that sounds to me like they're just, no, 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 no. Behind closed doors, they'll come strong and give you your opinion. But when the yes is made from the point leader, your yes becomes our yes. So they're not doing this. They're not going, well, I wouldn't do it this way. But he said, well, you know who? Her. Oh, We'll fire somebody so quick if they do that. Boom, you're gone. Well, I'm sorry. We'll warn them once. And then we'll go old school on them. You know, in sync, bye, bye, bye. We'll do that very, 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 very quick. You got to fire people. You got to fire people. It's difficult. It hurts my heart. Because we're talking about a heart issue, betrayal. It hurts the heart. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Here's Joseph with the Hugo Boss jacket. They didn't dig him. How do you react when maybe a colleague or a peer has the Hugo Boss jacket on? How do you react when someone is blessed? Because God's favor ain't fair, right? It's not fair. I mean, how do we react? How do we respond? Because in the ministry, wow. I think pastors, me, the pastors here, the leaders here, I think we struggle with pride more than anybody. I do. I think pride, I struggle with it. You struggle with it. If you act like you don't, you're lying. Here's what I discovered. When pride walks on the stage, God walks off. But the ride of pride is brutal. It is a brutal thing. I think we also struggle with envy a lot. Just those envy engines. And man, this can happen, especially in a leadership team or staff. We see, you know, the point person, we're like, and people that betray, let me say something, because we have some betrayers in the house. People who betray don't realize they're betraying. Usually betrayers, if you trace the trail of betrayal, usually betrayers have been betrayed and they want others in their lives to feel as betrayed as they feel, but they're confused. So when I talk about betrayal, most people who are betrayers don't realize it because they're confused. And people who are confused don't realize they're confused, because if you realize you were confused, you wouldn't be confused. So I understand the situation, you know, if that made sense. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. He's sharing dreams, and I'm doing this. God's going to be doing this in my life, whatever. Look at verses 18 and 19. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Betrayal. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. And you know what? The bigger the dream, the bigger the betrayal. And here is what they did. They took Joseph, and you know the situation, and threw him in a pit. Here's Joseph. I mean, God's man, the anointed and appointed and all that stuff and sharing the dreams, his 11 brothers, 11, right, kicked him into the pit. It was brutal, man. Joseph, at the zenith of his life, he's 17. I mean, his career is getting ready to blow up, and now his brothers betray him. They're all envious and jealous. You know, talking about envy, you're talking about a great illustration of envy. You remember Saul before he went psycho? Saul was like checking David out when David came back from taking out Goliath. Remember that? And all the girls were saying, Saul has killed his thousands, David, his tens of thousands. Saul has killed his thousands, David, his tens of thousands. And the Bible says, thank you. The Bible says that Saul looked at David with a jealous eye, an eye of envy, and the guy never, ever, ever recovered. Envy will eat you up. And years ago, I wrote this book about the seven deadly sins. Here's something interesting about envy that I read. This is a great point. I mean, I didn't make it up. That's why I say it's great. Then again, how many original ideas are there? You know? Come on. I've never heard that, really. He said that, really? No. Oh, wow. I always say, you know, God gave you eyes, plagiarize. It's great. I mean, when you steal stuff, I do, I make it better. Put it through your creativity. It's truth is truth. Some people, it's copyrighted. I thought it up. What? You know what I'm saying? Let's be real. What was I talking about? I was going to say something. I forgot. What was I saying? Envy. Oh, it's the book. Yeah, this is great. I read this somewhere. I don't know who said it, but this is awesome. I mean, I can't think this deep, so you know I didn't say it. Okay. Envy. Okay, you take the seven deadly sins. I wrote a book one time. It's out of print. Sold maybe 10 copies. Envy is the only one of the deadly sins that does not start off with some promise. Oh, that'll preach. All the other sins start off with some promise, like pride. Oh, yeah, I feel good. That was good. I like it. Now, the ride of pride, after a while, will mess you up. It starts off fun. Greed starts off fun. Oh, greed. I want that. You go, Boss Jacket, you know? Yeah, greed. Lust starts off fun. Lust. Oh, yeah. Girl, look at him. Why did you see me? You know? But it'll mess you up. Envy starts off U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, ugly, and it ends U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, ugly. So as believers, you know, we have to rejoice with those who rejoice, yeah, and weep with those who weep. Genesis 37, 18 and 19, they saw him at a distance. Before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said to each other. Whoa. So betrayal is fueled by envy. Here's another thing that I want to read to you. Look at Genesis 37, 23 and 24. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. Now here's what they didn't know. They stripped him of his robe, but they didn't realize, man, they were stripping, oh man, Kimbo Slice. I mean, he was ready for that faith fight. They didn't realize who they were messing with, did they? Oh, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented Hugo Boss robe he was wearing. And they took him and threw him into the cistern, read here, pit. And in the ministry, I got one thing to tell you, pit happens. Threw him into the cistern. It does. Pit happens. Now the cistern or the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Now you think that, do you really think that pit was empty? No, that pit was full. It was full of anger. It was full of resentment. It was full of pain. It was full of mistrust. Oh, it was full. It was pitiful. Yeah, on one hand, it was empty, yes. But on the other hand, that pit, when someone pushes me in the pit, when they push you in the pit, whoa. Hey, you know what? I am ADD, but I did this thing. I did this thing a while back, and this is a brilliant idea. Again, I didn't have it. That's why I can say it's brilliant. And you know what? If you want to have brilliant ideas, ask the right people the right questions that God's put around you, and you'll get the right answers. It's amazing the amount of creativity. All of us are creative geniuses because we're made in the image of God. But check this out. I've been doing a series recently, and I don't know if you've ever seen this before or not, but I've been doing a series on called The Fashion Police, because fashion is mentioned throughout the Bible. I don't want to get too far off the subject, but can I just a little, just about five minutes. This is a brilliant idea. And you guys, steal it and you'll make it 10 times better. It was very effective. Okay, so we're talking about being clothed in Christ. Galatians 3:27 and you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I didn't mean that. I'm saying, you know, I can go off on that. But anyway, we're just talking about the different ways that people clothe themselves in Christ, in your church and in mine. And here's this idea that came out of our creative team. This is genius. I just had a simple sport coat on, and it wasn't Hugo Boss, but a simple sport coat. I think I had this one on. Some people, check this out, some people pimp Jesus. Yeah, man. You know anybody that pimps Jesus? That's how some people clothe themselves in Christ. They use Jesus. They don't say, Jesus, use me. They say, Jesus, join my parade because it's all about me. Right? Is that so true? Wow, people pimp Jesus. Use him for what they want. And they'll kneel down, maybe a single woman, and go, Lord, bring me a man. Bring me a man, Lord. Bring me a man. I don't care if he's fat and bald. If he's rich, I want him to be rich. I want him to be rich. He can be bald and fat. Make him rich, Lord. Make him rich. And all of a sudden, boom, God answers the prayer. And then they sleep, you know, with him. outside the marriage bed. I mean, you're a pimp or a pimpette. Single guys, you know, they'll buy a bikini, hang the bikini in their closet. Lord, fill the bikini, Lord. Fill it, Lord. God will do it. And they'll mess up. Somebody else will close a big old honking real estate deal and they'll spend the money on themselves. Lord, thank you for helping me close the deal. And they'll rob the house. Oh, somebody call somebody. Another way that we rob Jesus and mess him up and another way that we are not clothed correctly is, I call this the reverse Jesus. During the week, people in your church, well, I'm sorry, people in my church, maybe not in yours, they'll wear Jesus this way. You have no idea. You have no idea, man, that they're a believer. It's just reverse Jesus. They're saying this, doing that, going here, messing all around. And then all of a sudden, here comes Sunday. Woo! Yes. And they reverse him. Look, hey, man, praise the Lord. And then I gotta be quick, I'm running out of time. This is so true. This is so true right here. Casual Jesus. Yeah, I'm just casual. I'm just casual with Jesus, yes. I'm committed to non-commitment. I just throw him over my shoulder. I show up once, I don't know, every 4 weeks, once every 6 weeks. C3 Church, Matt, he's cool, man. It's great. Dino, awesome. What's the guy's name? Hodges? Yeah, enjoy him a lot. How in the world do you do ministry with people committed to non-commitment? Are we the only church? I told our church the other day, man, if everybody showed up, I don't know what we would do. Then we got fire insurance Jesus. Fire insurance Jesus, you know? Tom around our waist. All right, man. Something bad happens, some difficulty, boom, we'll put him on, but we just kind of have him right there, you know? Fire insurance Jesus. Now, how do you minister to people like that? Anyway, isn't that a great idea? I didn't have, that's a brilliant, did I miss one, Lisa? There's one other one, I think. Let me think. Oh, yeah, recycle Jesus. Oh, recycle him. And you just live off other people's faith. You go, you know what? I'll just show up to Stovall Weems Church and I'll just hang on his coattails and Pastor Carey's coattails. I just live off. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's nothing to do with this message. I don't even know why I said it, but. But you know what you could do? I mean, you could do so much with that series. We have a great security force, you know, volunteers and everybody. And I said, you know what? I said this past week. I said, you know what? We're going to make some arrests today. We got some people who are impersonating Christians. We're going to arrest you. Anyway, fashion police. You can do so much with fashion, it's crazy. Anyway, it's just, whew, it's just fun. The pit, yeah, pit number one. Pit number one. Pit happens. The fourth thing. Betrayal can lead to a total breakdown or breakout. You might want to say breakthrough, I don't know. A breakdown or a breakout. Because when you're in the pit, if you become pitiful, if you look down and around, here's what will happen. You have the opportunity of never, ever, ever being able to give your heart again to someone. You have the opportunity never, ever, ever being able to trust someone again. You have the opportunity, and I've been here before, of getting all angry and toxic and mean because down in the pit, there's some pit vipers, some negative people. And if you get pitiful, they'll bite you and inject you with that negative venom. So there's two types of people you meet in the pit. The adders or the ladders. Now the ladders are the people, I'm telling you, who encourage you, who help you, and they're carrying ladders around. Hopefully your staff and your leadership team, if you're planning a church, they're ladder people. You're in the pit, boom! They're putting the ladder up against the side of the wall of the pit, and they're helping you up. And every rung on the ladder, I mean, they're taking you to an H&L, a whole nother level when you do that. So ask yourself, think about your leadership team, think about your staff. Are they adders or ladders? I want ladder people, smiling and encouraging, because when you're knocked down on one knee in that pit, if you'll put the other knee down and look up, I mean, the light might only be that big, but I'm telling you, awesome things will happen. What happened to Joseph? Well, real quick, his brothers cruised back to his dad, took a goat's blood, you know, bloodied up to Hugo Boss. Dad, it was terrible. Oh, what happened to Joseph? I thought about that for a second. Isn't that crazy? Because think about the history of Jacob. What did Jacob do? Jacob betrayed his brother, Esau, and what did he use? Some goat's fur. Whoa, somebody call somebody. And now his sons are using goat's blood to betray their brother and to betray their father. And Jacob betrayed his brother and his father. You show me somebody who's into betrayal, and I'll show you somebody's got some parents who did the same thing. It's unbelievable. It's a synetic condition, isn't it? Isn't it? But here's the deal. See, the devil, the devil's doing this. You know, the enemy is behind it. And a lot of people who are involved in it don't even realize this. And here's what we know as believers. He's tipping us off to the greatness, to the blessings of what's going to happen in the future. See, so it's really good that he's showing his hands that he doesn't understand it. He's showing his hand when you're betrayed and I'm betrayed. Like, whoa, God, you want to do that much with my life? And he thinks by kicking his people in the pit that we're going to have our own black tie invitational pity party. No. It's like take the robe off. We're Kimbo Slice. We got people who've got our backs. We got people who are with us. We got ladder people around us. And we're going to climb out and go to an H&L, a whole nother level. Well, so don't ask when you're in the pit. Don't ask why me. Ask what now? What now? Joseph was sold into slavery. You know, Potiphar, you know, the guy, big time Potiphar, bought him. And a lot of people don't realize this. As a little kid reading the Bible, I thought he was like in Potiphar's house for a couple of days, and boom, he was promoted to the number one in the household. That's not true. 10 years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 years he worked in Potiphar's house. That's a long time. You're talking about loyalty. The password is loyalty. Your username should be loyalty, right? Loyalty, loyalty. And because of loyalty, he was promoted to number one. Well, Potiphar, this big-time guy, head of the CIA, had a wife. People wonder, man, what was her name? I'll tell you her name, Potiphar. Potiphar. Potiphar, she tempted him day after day. There's only three people in the Bible who were ripped. Three people. This is a fact, Jack. Three people in the Bible. David, Solomon, and Joseph. Only three who were ripped. Only three. It says they were well-built and handsome. Only three. Only three of those guys did PX90. Or is it P90X? What's it called? What? P90X? I get that mixed up all the time. P90X, is that unbelievable? That's an incredible infomercial. I love that. So it's P90X, okay. And what did he do? He said, no. What did she do? Well, she betrayed him. So did Potiphar. Kicked him into another pit, second pit, pit number two, prison. Wow. And then from there, of course, you know, he got promoted out and became like this huge leader. Didn't he? Yeah. Genesis 50:20, you know, his brothers come before him. Hey, you guys meant it for evil. God meant it for good. But I wanted to spend just a little bit of time right here before I close this down. How long have I been? Where's the clock? How long have I been talking? Okay, I'm almost through. I promise you I am. But. Okay, Joseph was loyal. 10 years, loyal. 10 years, he was loyal to who? Potiphar. Now, he was all, you know, he's all homesick, far away from home. but he was loyal. And I cannot tell you how important this is. Please, I beg you, get under the authority structure that God has put in your life. So we need to get under those things God has put over us so we can get over those things God has put under us. And that's what Joseph did. So if you want to go up, get under. And that's not the reason you do it. Okay, I'm going to get under to go up. But I mean, if you get under the authority, God's going to take you places you will not believe. So pit promotion number one, boom. After 10 years, he's ahead of Potiphar's household. Everything's going great. His career's blowing up. Wham, another betrayal happens. Potiphar lies. And then, you know what's so sad about that? I got this thought. Potiphar told Potiphar that Joseph was hitting on her. Now, Potiphar knew his wife was an emotional wackadoodle-doo basket case. You know that he knew she was a liar. Watch this. When someone betrays, oh, this is good here. I'm telling you, this is good. I've seen this, so I'm just telling you what I've seen. When someone is a betrayer, it's always followed by a bunch of lies. And it's always followed by people believing the lies of the betrayer. Watch out for those people and watch those people who believe the lies of the betrayer. Because I've seen people around leaders who want to believe the bad about them, who want to believe the negative stuff, who want to believe the blog, the litter, the brag, the whatever, the untruth, the slander, the gossip, the secrets from those pit vipers. But see what you're doing? You're realizing who the posers are, but also here's the beautiful side, you're realizing who the players are. Not players, the players, the latter people, the people who take you to a whole nother level. So before, this second pit, loyalty. It leads to prosperity. You can look at that in Genesis 39, 1 through 3. It also leads to opportunity. Of course, being in charge of the entire household, he was in the zone. It leads to character development. See, we want overnight success, overnight church growth, overnight marital bliss, overnight this or that. We are all enrolled in the U of C, the University of Character. Because when you get under the authority structure, what's going to happen? God molds you and shapes you because we're a diamond in the rough into a beautiful diamond. So think about it. God has that pastor, that leader, that whoever over you to mold you into a beautiful diamond. So it's chink, 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 and all of a sudden you're a beautiful diamond. Loyalty. We got to have people who are loyal to us. Do you have loyal people around you? You got to. You got to hire people better than you are. Better than you are. I want to close by just telling you a simple story, but I've only shared this story a couple of times, but this is the raw and the real deal about church work. And I want you to hear this with the proper state of mind, because enough time has melted off the clock for me to share this. One act of betrayal almost ruined and devastated Fellowship Church. As I said, we planted Fellowship Church almost, not quite, 20 years ago. Our church was going and growing pretty good. You know, 150, 200 begin to grow a little bit. We have the plateaus, you know how we all do, and, you know, up and down. And after a big holiday, you're like, yeah, we finally figured it out. We had 300 for Easter, then boom, back to 175. You know that feeling? Well, in the first several years, we had a lot of people come and a lot of people go because, as I always tell church leaders, and as I've learned myself growing up in the ministry, don't tell me who's showing up at your church. Tell me who's leaving your church. Well, anyway, we had a young couple. They performed spectacularly in our church, great leaders. They led people to Christ. They were there every time the church doors were open. And after several years, this guy came to me one day. He goes, hey, and I'm really feeling led to go into the ministry. And if you guys are ever looking for a staff position, I will do whatever. I'll sweep floors. I'll do whatever. Tears in his eyes and the whole deal. So we watched him over the years do all this stuff. And so finally we had enough cash you know, to do it. I say that, you never have enough cash, but you know. We brought him on. He did a masterful job on our staff, and we were growing and doing this and that. And our church was the nomadic church. We were moving from place to place, rental facilities, setting up, tearing down, moving from all the different places, as you've heard so many, many people talk about. So we finally thought after 8 years, all right, let's get some land. So we found this tract of land. We couldn't afford it. We needed a lot of money. It was during a horrible time in the economy. The Resolution Trust Corporation was dumping all this land. So 168 acres came on the market. It was kind of a sealed bid type scenario. We submitted a bid for $2.5 million. We didn't have the money. They awarded us the bid. We had to come up with the money to secure the land. We did. We owed on the land $1.875 million without a sign on the property. A year later, we sold 22 of the 160 for $1.875 million. So don't tell me God's not in the real estate business. You know that. Well, now it's time to build. Yeah, it's time to build. Yeah. Go back to my staff member, our new staff member. This guy is just doing great. He comes to me, Ed, I have an MBA and da 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 da. And he had done some business with some other business people in our church. I thought, wow, you just go for it and you handle the finances. I mean, that's not my gift. And we had a great board, of people. One guy, Ivy League graduate, another guy owned some hotels. Another guy had his own law firm. Everything was tight and everything was going great and their church structure was good. So anyway, we started raising money. Oh, man. Fundraising, F-U-N, fundraising. Raising money for this building in a horrible time economically in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So we began to raise the money and raise the money and raise the money. And you know, the architects come in and draw these plans for you. You're like, and then they tell you the cost, wah, wah, wah. Because I love architects, but they chase infinity. You need to understand that. You gotta keep them in parameters. So, and we finally got something we wanted. We said, you know what, the way we're growing, we want to go for the big, big kahuna. Let's build like over 4,000 seats. We couldn't pay for that. So we ratcheted it down to several thousand seats. Which, that's a huge place. I mean, a monstrous place. So with tilt wall construction and all that, and so we had the fundraiser and people began to commit, and we had just enough money to start this process. Well, we needed millions more to do what we wanted to do in the children's ministry, but we were going to just go for it in faith. We were going to go for it. One day, one Wednesday afternoon, this guy knocked on my door. I opened the door. He came in, tears streaming down his face, holding a wire transfer. Ed, this is incredible, man. My wife's uncle, and he told me the guy's name. Okay, I'll tell you his last name. Mr. Brantley. You've heard of him. He's a multi-squillionaire. He has just transferred, Ed, into this trust for our new building, blank $1 million. I'm like, what? Wow. Transferred the signature. I'm like crying. We're hugging. Wow, man. Now, we can build 4,300 seats. We can build a children's building that'll be like Disney World on steroids. It is going to be the greatest church building in the history of Christendom. I was so excited. I totally trusted this guy. Our board totally trusted this guy. My closest friends totally trusted this guy. Seen him lead people to Christ, the whole deal. At that time, suddenly, without warning, Lisa's father died. Lisa's father, I introduced Elva earlier, phenomenal man of God, just dropped dead of a heart condition. So, of course, just in the midst of all this, We were just, you know, heartbroken. Right before he died, though, we told him of this multi-million dollar gift, and he was so happy. So, you know, we rushed to Columbia, South Carolina for the funeral, and we were in the funeral home standing there, and it took like three people to bring in this big, monstrous arrangement. I mean, I've never seen flowers this big. And the card on it, it wrote this real nice, and written in real nice handwriting about Fellowship Church and what's going to happen in the future. And then it was signed, Mr. Brantley. Now, here's what's interesting about this giver. Mr. Brantley's whole deal was, you know what, I want to just keep this thing on the down low. I don't want anybody to know, you know, that I'm doing that. So he, in all of his correspondence, all of his wire transfers, he said that. I respected that. So I never met him, but we got all this, you know, money from him. So anyway, let me say this to tell you how sick and demonic this guy that I'm describing was and is. Again, this is the real deal here. Lisa and I and her sister and her husband had planned to take Lisa's parents to Florida. We rented a condominium for their 50th wedding anniversary. So he died months before that, Lisa's dad. So we come back and we're just, you know, of course, after this loss. And I like grew up with Lisa's family. I've known this since I've been like 14. We've been together that long. Isn't that amazing? Not married, but I mean, you know, we've been dating. So anyway, this guy on our staff, we come back and we're all just down, and Lisa's going through that whole grieving process. He comes to us and goes, hey, my father has a phenomenal beach house on Galveston Island. It is epic. And we've reserved it for you free of charge. It's a huge house. And he gave us the house plan, showed us a picture of the house. And we're like, is this guy phenomenal? This guy's the ultimate staff member. I mean, he's got your back. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable guy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, you know, we buy all the groceries and we have it all planned for us to converge in Dallas and drive down to Galveston. Everybody's fired up. We've seen the house, whatever. And several days before we were leaving, he says, yeah, he calls us and goes, you know what? I think there might be some problems with the house. And so the Suburban is now packed up. You know, we're planning this whole deal. And he tells us, well, the house is flooded. A maid left the water on in the third story and flooded the whole house. So you can't go. Okay, I said, you know, whatever. All right, it's tough, but whatever. So anyway, that was in the spring. Summer rolls around. It's June. I'm at our student camp, and I'm getting ready to speak, and our family's down there and another staff member. And I wake up one morning, and I'm thinking, I mean, my Quasar is going off. It's hitting about a 10. It's the Holy Spirit of God, man. It's the Holy Spirit of God. He's like telling me, Ed, something is wacky with this guy. Something is weird with this guy. Something is just not right. And I'm thinking, whoa. Because I had another family member who's in the insurance business tell me something about some tests he was doing for his personal insurance. And I'm like, no way. Not this guy. I mean, this guy I totally trust. I mean, no way. And so I thought, you know what? I am going to call him. And yeah, I've seen the wire transfers and this and that and the banks and all this. We've seen the letters and the correspondence our board has. I just got to know before we begin this huge Disney World on steroids children's building, because we're already in the process, you know, of, you know, making our worship center 4,300 seats. I got to know if the money is in the bank. So I called him. I called his name. Hey, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I really got to see the money. I want to talk to our banker and just make sure that we have the millions in the bank. And he, you know, him hauled around. I said, hey, here's what I'm telling you. Show me the money. That's all I ask. He began to hours go by. I'm on the phone with them, 2 hours, 3 hours. All of a sudden I'm going, wait a minute, I am talking to someone who is betraying God's church. I'm talking to a liar. I'm talking to someone who is demonically oppressed. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. All of a sudden, Lisa calls some people to converge on the church. And after 12 hours on the phone, and I'm screaming, show me the money. I'm just telling you what I was doing. Ed, you're yelling at me. I said, okay. I'm flying in. I told him, after I hung the phone up, right before I hung the phone up, I said, I'm flying in tomorrow morning. We're going to go down to the bank together. He goes, I'll go with you. And I want to talk to the banker and make sure the money is in the bank. So I spoke to the students, went to bed. That morning, like at 5 a.m., the phone rings in Florida. I pick it up. The voice on the other end says, Ed, I've lied. I lied about the money. I made this donor up. I lied about the beach house. I lied. And I said, hey, you know, we'll try to get you some help and some counseling. I hung the phone up and I said, Lisa, it's over. Fellowship Church is over. We owe $1 squillion. We built this 4,300-seat worship center. We can't build a children's building. What are we going to do with the kids? It's over. It's over. But you know what? I married a ladder. And she said, Ed, no matter what, we are going to build God's church. Whether it's here or in Borneo, we're going to build it. And you know what? Okay, check this out. Because of this betrayal, I could tell you some specifics. I didn't even get into a lot of the other stuff anyway. But because of this betrayal, Genesis, right, 50-20, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Because of this betrayal, we built a worship center that seated 4,000 seats, 300 people. And today, we have a lot of people, I don't want to get hung up on numbers, showing up in church. All these services, so many that we had to go to satellite campuses in a 4,300-seat worship center. When we moved into it, guess what? We didn't have children's facilities. The kids met outside until we were able to bring some portable buildings in, which we still have today because of this liar, because of this betrayer. Now, though, we have built a state-of-the-art children's facility with a six-acre lake. We own a building in downtown Dallas. We own a building in downtown Fort Worth. We own a building in Miami, Florida. We just built a camp/resort center for $35 million. So what this guy meant for evil, God used for good. Because I'm standing here telling you, had we not been betrayed, we would not have the church we have today. So here's some apps. Ready? Right quick. Some quick apps on the situation. What did this betrayal do? Number one, it brought our staff together. The same people who are making the major decision for Fellowship Church today were the same people back in the day, for the most part, who made those decisions. You're talking about staff cohesiveness and unity? Unbelievable. It helps separate the players from the posers. Hiring staff is very easy. Get kicked into a pit and turn around and see who's got your back. And if they got a ladder with them, hire them. We hire for intensity, not intellect, right? We hire for the heart, not for head. Number three, and this is monstrous. I cannot emphasize as much. Number three, the reason we were able to survive it. Because it would have broken most churches. You know why we were able to survive it? Of course, God, number one, no doubt. God. It's all about him. But secondly, because we had a biblical church structure. We had a biblical church structure. I beg you to have a structure that promotes leadership. You've got to allow leaders to lead. You've got to have the decision-making power in the hands of a few. That's why I believe on boards in all churches, you should have pastors on the boards. Because if a businessman, this is not a knock against business people, but if a businessman understands how you spend money in the church, you're not spending money the way you should. And you understand what I'm saying. Don't go, oh my goodness, what's he saying? No, you know what I'm saying to you. Our best friends should be pastors. Can you have a best friend in the church? Technically, yeah, but it is rare and it's so hard. That's why these conferences are so awesome. These can be your best friends. They should be your best friends. My best friends are pastors. So that is just a thing that I beg you. And if you will go on to my website, we have a church structure on there. You can just copy it. It's not even that much money. Just take it and copy the bylaws, copy the handbook. It's creativepastors.com. I'm telling you, if you don't have your bylaws set, you know, bylaws don't matter until they matter. But you go through betrayal, they matter. And because we had the right bylaws, policies, and procedures, we didn't have to go public. I mean, what if we had to go public? Okay, wow, man, we're idiots. And I can tell this story now, but it happened 12 years ago. Are you feeling me? You imagine? God, we were able to keep that low and just, you know. It's huge. So, wow. I got so excited here. I preached about 20 sermons. Anyway, betrayal happens in the ministry. That's what I'm going to tell you. And the brutal part of it, it hurts the heart. If it did not hurt my heart, I'll get out of the ministry. The day I don't get upset when people leave our church or hurt when someone close to me turns on me, is the day I'm going to go like, wow, something's wrong. So there's a brutal side to it. But I'm going to tell you, the beautiful side of it is it will solidify your church. You will see the players. You will be able to see who is with you and who is for you and who is against you. And I'm telling you, God will use the pit to help you go to a level you've never, ever dreamed possible. So you know what? We can look at the devil right in the face and say, okay, strip me. All right, you take the robe off, man. I'm going Kimbo Slice. I am ready to do the faith fight. I am ready for a pit because I know that it's not going to be a breakdown. It's going to be a break. Through to an H&L, say with me, a whole nother level.